Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Before we get started, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are always here with us, and that no matter what we go through, you are always present. You said in your word, I will never leave, I will never forsake you. And so I pray for every audience member who's listening, and that whatever sickness or disease or problem that they're facing, that you help them, Lord. Whether they're at work or in their house or driving, that you or shopping, that you help them and that you bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. And whatever sickness and whatever problem that they're facing, that you remove it from their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so let's start reading. Yesterday, I gave an overview of what's going to happen, like including the rapture and the tribulation. But today I'm going to include other events besides the rapture and the tribulation, starting here with the rapture. Since I read a few verses yesterday about the rapture, I would like to read here chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. It says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For we say this to you by a word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And so here, brothers, we can see 10 points that the Lord is talking about here. First of all, Paul is giving them a reason. The reason of why he was going to tell them about the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. So, why did Paul present this teaching on the rapture to this particular audience at this time? He gives the reason himself, saying that he wrote this passage to eliminate ignorance among those brothers and sisters, to inform them of the truth. Paul wasn't like many today who say, we don't need to know about Bible prophecy. On the contrary, the apostle said, I don't want you to be uninformed about the rapture and the end times. Reading the King James Version, it says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Paul wrote to correct this problem of ignorance. Paul wrote the letter of 1 Thessalonians from the Greek city of Corinth in about AD 50 during his second missionary journey. Paul had actually went to the city of Thessalonica to preach the word. And one of his main preaching points was the end times and the rapture. And so many people in that city, after he left, he noticed, you know, that many people were becoming ignorant and not wanting to know anything about the end times. So he wrote this to them. This is the reason he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. This is the reason he said, that the Lord was going to rapture his church. This is the reason of why he wrote that passage. And so a second point We see here in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, part 1. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, our belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ forms the root, the foundation, the core of our teaching on the rapture. Our Lord's death on the cross, where he paid the price for our sins with his precious blood, secured our place in heaven. So this is the very bedrock of our Christian faith. Because he died for us, we are forgiven. Because he was raised, we too will be raised. Jesus himself will raise us from the dead. The Bible calls Jesus Christ's resurrection the first fruits, the guarantee, the blueprint, in other words, for the resurrection of his people. He is the head of the body, and we are the members of that body. For that reason, what happens to the head must happen to the members of the body. His victory over death and the grave assures our victory. The root of the rapture is Christ's death and resurrection. And so the third point that I want to talk about here is the rejoining. And what I mean by that, here we're gonna see in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, part 2. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So, a natural question that the Thessalonians would have asked, and you and I might ask it as well, is how are those who have died in Christ rejoined to their bodies? The answer, by resurrection. At the rapture, God will bring the perfected spirits of believers back with him from heaven. Those perfected spirits will be rejoined with their glorified bodies and will be raised. To properly grasp this idea of the rapture, of rejoining at the rapture, it's important, brothers and sisters, that we understand what occurs at the moment of physical death. Death in the Bible always means separation, never annihilation or, you know, an end of existence. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam that the day he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would surely die. Genesis 2:17. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they did not die physically. They began to die physically. Adam died 930 years later. But in the very moment that they ate the fruit, they died spiritually, just as God had said. Separated and alienated from their creator, Adam and Eve sensed their guilt and shame and made garments out of leaves to cover their nakedness and hide their sin. A person who is spiritually dead is a person who is spiritually separated from God. Ephesians 2:1. Likewise, when a person dies physically, he or she does not cease to exist. There's a separation between the material part, the body, and the immaterial part, the soul and spirit of the person. When this separation happens, the body falls asleep and is buried. But the soul or spirit, the immaterial part of the person, goes immediately to heaven if the person is a believer. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Also Philippians 1:23. During the time between a person's death and resurrection, the person, you know, is with the Lord. If you're a believer, but that is the symbolism that I wanted to use for what it means when we will be resurrected at the rapture. So, First Thessalonians 4:15. The first part of the verse, it says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." The next question that someone might ask is, "Paul, how do you know about all this? What's your source of information?" And Paul's answer was that he got it directly from the Lord, by the word of the Lord. Verse 15. Paul received this from the Lord, and he transmitted it to the church. So this was not something that he made up. He made it really clear that he did not make this up, that it was by the word of the Lord, by revelation of the word of the Lord, that he was telling the church this. The fifth point I want to talk to you about is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, part 2, and all of verse 16. It says that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. At the end of verse 15, the Apostle Paul begins to lay out the sequence of events that will occur at the time of the rapture. He explains that we who are alive at the time of the rapture will not precede or go before those who have died. So, at the time of the rapture, the first thing that will happen is that the Lord himself will come again in the clouds. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. Jesus is not going to send an angel. He's not going to send a representative. The Lord himself will come. He's coming physically. We matter so much to the Lord that he's not going to send somebody else to take us to meet him in the air. He's going to come himself. He's going to rapture us, and he's going to take us from this earth. So wherever we are, we will, from wherever we are, we will be raptured to meet the Lord in the air. The rapture will open with the personal reappearance of Jesus in the sky. Jesus will return accompanied by three things. There will be a commanding shout from the lips of Jesus himself. And second, we will hear the voice of the archangel, the voice of the archangel, and the final trumpet. And so here, the sixth point and the dead in Christ will rise first. So here Paul is saying that when Christ comes down from heaven, the first thing that will happen is that the bodies of deceased believers will be raised or resurrected and united to their perfected spirits, which have returned with the Lord. The dead in Christ will rise first. So they're not going to miss the rapture, as some people, you know, have asked if you know, the dead are going to miss the rapture. They're not going to miss the rapture. They're going to be ahead of us believers who are still living. And so the seventh point that I want to talk to you about here is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, part 1. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. We've already spoken about the resurrection of the dead at the rapture. But what about those who are still alive in that moment? Brothers and sisters, there will be many living believers on earth when this event happens. What will happen to those who are living? What's going to happen is that at the very moment that Jesus appears and he has called forth the dead from their graves, wherever we are, whether we're in our car driving, whether we're in our homes reading the Bible, whether we're praying on our knees, whether we're preaching the gospel to somebody, whether we're doing like any of those things, we are going to be raptured. We're going to be raptured. The Bible says that the Lord has to find us working hard when he comes. That means he cannot find us being lazy. He cannot find us, just relaxing somewhere, taking a nice relaxing visit to the beach or wherever, right? Or to some other attraction, right? He's not going to find us in a theme park. Jesus is not going to find us in a movie theater. Jesus is not going to find us in a mall. Jesus is not going to find us in a grocery store. Jesus is not going to find us in many other places, brothers and sisters. But where he wants to find us is he wants to find us reading his word. He wants to find us praying. When he comes, let's pray that he finds us praying, that he finds us reading his word, that he finds us meditating on him, that he finds us preaching his gospel to everybody who is lost. And the eighth point, verse 17 here of this same chapter. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ and the living saints will all be raptured together and will meet the Lord in the air. We will see Jesus face to face for the first time. The ninth point. To meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. At the rapture, we will meet the Lord in the air. And then now, the tenth point, the reassurance. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul wrote this passage to comfort believers who had lost loved ones before the rapture. And it still comforts us today. Our loved ones who have fallen asleep will not miss the great reunion in the clouds. In fact, they'll get there first. But we'll be right behind them, and we'll all find ourselves together in the sky on that day when the trumpet sounds. The truth of the rapture, brothers, is a source of comfort and hope to all of God's people when a believing loved one or friend goes home to be with the Lord. So let's read these words and be comforted, no matter, and also not just for, you know, loved ones we've lost, but also if we're facing any situation or crisis. And so I talked right now about the rapture, but now let's go to a verse that speaks about the tribulation, because that's the second event that will be going on. Here in Matthew, chapter 24, verse 21, for at that time there will be great distress or tribulation, the kind that hasn't taken place from the beginning of the world until now and never will again. This version says distress. But what we have to have in our minds is tribulation. There will come a great tribulation that nobody has ever seen and nobody will ever see again. This period of tribulation will come after the rapture, when the church is no longer on earth, when the church has been removed to heaven. Yesterday we talked about the restrainer. So we are that restraint that's keeping the Antichrist from doing his works and from the world becoming worse. And so while we're still here, it's like everything's kept under control. Even though right now it seems, you know, that everything's out of control. Really, everything's right now is under control. But when we are removed, things will get out of control. And this whole world, starting off with when we're raptured, brothers and sisters, when we're raptured, we're going to have a lot of chaos. Like the people on earth who remain are going to have a lot of chaos. Many planes will crash. Many cars will crash. Why? Because many pilots and drivers who are driving them are going to be Christians. And they're going to be raptured and they're going to disappear from where they are. Be it an airplane or a car. And you know, you may say, you know, it's gonna be unfair though for all those people who are left behind in the plane. They're gonna crash and they're gonna die. Well, the Bible has given ample the Lord has given opportunity so that we could preach His word and so that people could receive His word and so that they could become part of the church and be raptured and not experience any of the horrible things that are gonna happen. Right? But the Bible here says that there will come a time, as I said at closing yesterday, that there will come a time when, as Noah's Ark closed in, so the door of salvation will be closed to everybody who does not want to believe. And from there on will come pure destruction and pure terror and things that are gonna frighten everybody. And even so, the Bible says that there will be many who will not convert or not believe in God. And so another point after that point in tribulation, then afterwards, and we'll go on explaining about like different topics throughout this podcast program. But other events that are going to come after the tribulation is over, which will include the War of Armageddon, where all the governments of the earth will make war against the people of Israel. After that is going to come the second coming of Christ. So there are two phases to the coming of Christ. The first phase is the rapture. For many people who say the Bible just says that there's going to be one coming. Jesus is going to come once more, not two times. But I understand not two comings, but two phases of one coming. Because in phase one, and here I'm going to explain the phases. In phase one, which is the rapture, Jesus will come partly to earth. And he will basically step into the atmosphere of our planet in the clouds. And there he will rapture us to meet him in the clouds. He won't actually touch down on planet Earth. But in the second phase, after the tribulation is over, then he will physically and literally step on planet Earth. He will come to make an end to the empire of the Antichrist and to judge those who have accepted the mark and, throw them into the lake of fire. Those who have accepted the mark of the Antichrist and the Antichrist himself and the false prophet, who is basically the Antichrist's assistant. And so they will be thrown into the lake of fire. And after Jesus comes to destroy the empire of the Antichrist and to set this world aright, then there will come a period that is called the millennium, a period of literal 1,000 years that will happen when Jesus overthrows the Antichrist, he will establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. At that period, the devil will be cast into the bottomless pit that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, for 1,000 years, so that he will not deceive anybody. And we will be explaining in different episodes and dedicated to each section, right? Why 1,000 years? Why not more? And why does the period have to end? But for now, I'm giving the chronological order. So after the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released. And he will be released to go all over the world to still try to deceive everybody from all corners of the earth for one final battle. Would it be battle? Against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the Lord says that he will command fire from heaven to consume all of his enemies. And Satan will finally be cast into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and the false prophet are, or will be. And so after that, he will establish the city that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 22. That is the New Jerusalem. And there he will reign with him forever and ever and ever. and there will be no end to our joy. But there will be an end to sorrow. There will be an end to grief. There will be an end to sadness. There will be an end to pain. There will not be coronavirus over there. There will not be any other disease over there. There will not be any other problem or tribulation that will be able to torment the people of God. But we will all be free, and we will all be singing nonstop to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that is what should motivate us today to walk in the footsteps of God. Now that we've seen a timeline of all these events that are coming, that are going to happen in Bible prophecy, we should be alert. We should stand firm. And we should pray that God comes soon. Amen? So, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the opportunity to preach your word. That you help me, Lord. And that you help every one of us, Lord, so that we can preach your word continually to those who are in need, to those who are lost. And that you can also, Lord, bless those who are in any sickness or any pain, Lord. Those who have gotten infected with the coronavirus or any other disease, Lord, that you heal them, Lord. You know you have the power. You have the power, Lord, to heal according to their faith, Lord. Heal them, God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And whatever sickness or whatever other problem that your church may be facing, Lord, any of my audience members, Lord, that you bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you heal them, that you help them, Lord, and also that you help us understand more about end times prophecy and what it means for our lives, Lord, as we uncover more sections, Lord, of Bible prophecy. God, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, tomorrow we're going to talk about, we've been talking about many things together, right? Like the rapture and the tribulation, like all together in one session. Tomorrow, we're going to cover the rapture. Once again, it's going to be like an in-depth discussion, but this time we're going to have somebody as a special guest in this podcast program. He will be communicating with us over the phone because right now, because of what's happening with coronavirus, you know, all of these things that are happening, like the state lines are closing and everything like that. So, and they've been closed. So he's going to be communicating with us through the phone. And we're going to talk about in-depth Bible prophecy. His name is Oscar Linares. Amen. So may God bless you all, brothers, and stay strong. Stay firm in the Lord. God bless you.